This is John Politon. I want to welcome you to Reformed Living. The passionate pursuit of holiness, obedience to the Word of God in every area, is the essence of the Christian life. It is my sincere prayer that the time we spend together today in God's Word will enable all of us to walk in greater holiness and thus to live our lives more to the glory of God.
I'm Celeste Montague. Thank you for joining us today. We are studying the book of Romans, a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the believers at the church in Rome, probably Paul's masterpiece of all of his writings in the scripture. We are in Romans chapter 1, an incredibly impactful chapter that sets the table for our study. Let's listen as John continues a message titled, The Wrath of God, Part 2. As he begins our time today by describing an experience that some missionaries had years ago with members of a tribe of people called the Muni tribe, and how they seemed to somehow have a knowledge, an understanding of a God in heaven. Here's John Politon.
Muni tribes people that John and Joy Cutts adopted parents, Bill and Gracie Cutts, first reached after World War II at an area in Jaya, Indonesia. It took years and find a long story, breakthrough, share the gospel, and then ultimately, in talking about Christ, this one older elder of the tribe said, I know already of whom you speak. I just never knew his name. How do you explain that? What is all that? I'll tell you how you explain that. It's by God's revelation. For since verse 20, the creation of the world, his invisible attributes and his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. Verse 20 tells us what we can know. You can know about the God of Scripture, get this, apart from Scripture. What can you know about him? You can know his incredible, omnipotent power, and you can know certain aspects of the King James says, and his Godhead. That's referring to his divine nature. You can know certain aspects about him. Why? Because God has revealed it in nature, and he's equipped man to be able to look at nature and assess it for what it is. One commentator, Charles Hodge, says this, God therefore has never left himself without a witness. His existence and perfections have ever been so manifested that his rational creatures are bound to acknowledge and worship him as the true and only God, close quote. What he's saying is, what you see in nature externally, God has equipped man with internally to appreciate and understand there's a creator, there's a God, and I'm accountable to him. Well, so what's knowable? Again, his divine power and certain aspects of his nature. Flip over real quick to Acts. Go back to Acts chapter 14. We're going to go to a couple chapters in Acts. Acts chapter 14. Just real quick. Paul is speaking. He's talking about God. Let's pick it up in Acts chapter 14, verse 12. And they, these people he's preaching to, began calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of it, they tore their robes and rushed out into the crowd, crying out and saying, Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you and preach the gospel to you in order that you should turn from these vain things to a living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And in the generations gone by, he permitted all the nations to go their own way. As a matter of fact, as we'll see in a couple of weeks, I believe that God gave them over. That's happening to these United States. God's letting us go our own way. And maybe some recent things are the retarding of that. But in generations gone by, he permitted all the nations to go their own way. Verse 17, and yet he did not leave himself without witness in that, what was his witness? He did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and with gladness. What's he saying there? You can look at the world. You can look at the orderly nature and you can see certain things about the aspect of God. There is much that is good to see. You see the provision. You see what's going on in nature, and man can perceive the goodness of God. The goodness of life speaks of the goodness of God. The provision for food and the provision for meeting needs speaks of the goodness of God and the graciousness of the Creator. That's why, you know, oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, flowing grain, your purple mountain majesties above the plain, no, above the fruited plain. God makes provision for his creatures. You can see that in creation. Flip over to Acts 17. While we're here, we might as well just go a couple chapters to the right. Acts 17, verse 23. He's talking to the Greeks about their unknown God. He says, for a while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. And look, he starts out with creation again. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he's Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. And he made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries, notice God believes in nations having borders, and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God. He does all that so that they should seek God. He creates everything. He gives them everything. He creates and orders the nation. He does all of this because he's made it possible for them to seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he's really not far from each one of us. For in him, this God, we live and move and exist. And he goes on. And talking about men everywhere should repent. Okay. While we're on a roll, go back one chapter. Just listen to me. Just time. John chapter 1. Did you ever wonder, well, how do I know? I mean, it says he made it evident to them, but how do I know that men really have in their heart this ability to look at creation and perceive from that that there is truly a God and ultimately be drawn toward that God so that they're without excuse by rejecting him? John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And everything that's been created was created by the Word, and without him, nothing has been ever created. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shone in the darkness comprehended it not. Now, John goes on and says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He wasn't the light. He was to just bear witness of the light. And that was the true light. Here we go, verse 9 of John 1. That was the true light. Jesus was the true light that, get this, enlightens every man, generic, enlightens every human being that comes into the world. Now, wait a minute. Are you saying then that everybody is saved? No, I just did that away a moment ago. What's he saying? Every human being that comes into the world is illumined by Christ as the second person of the Godhead with a knowledge of God. Every human being. Christ is the light that lights, that illumines all men, the Word of God says. John 1, verse 9. That's the meaning of verse 20. Go back to Romans 1. That's the meaning of verse 20 in Romans chapter 1. All men have the knowledge of God evident within them. They've been illumined by the second and the creative force of the Godhead, Jesus the Christ. Because if you continue on in John 1, you realize, and that word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he's talking about the knowledge of the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so he ultimately identifies the word as Jesus Christ. You say, well, wait a minute. You mean everybody in the world has the opportunity? Yes. Yes. Somehow, in some way, listen to this. God is a God of goodness. God is a God of grace. God is a God of perfect righteousness, perfect justice, perfect mercy, perfect wrath. God never, ever punishes or visits judgment on an individual other than in a perfect, holy, merciful, gracious, just, correct manner. All men have the knowledge of God.
John will be back with more on how all human beings are born with an innate understanding of a God who made the heavens, the earth, and us. Stay tuned. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon as we continue our study in the book of Romans and bring you more of a message today titled The Wrath of God, Part 2. Please visit reformedlivingministries.org where you can learn more about John's church. Download free MP3 copies of John's sermons by clicking the Sermon tab, and you can order CD copies of John's teaching too by clicking the Contact tab and then sending us your CD request by email. That's reformedlivingministries.org. And now, let's get back to John as he talks more about the common knowledge or understanding that there is a God, a creator. Here's John.
All men have the knowledge of God. He's shown it to them, and they've internally seen it to be true. I continue to think of Carl Sagan. He was the guy who had the series Cosmos, you know, and was the scientist who denied God. And it's so sad, such a brilliant, brilliant man to see all that creation, all of that for him. He had the ability. He suppressed the truth in his own unrighteousness. That eternal power is simply God's unfailing omnipotence over everything. And it says, and man knows his divine nature. It's his wisdom, his goodness, his love. And through the creation, these things are clearly seen. You know, you say, well, did people way back 500 and 1,000 years ago? I think in many ways, maybe they had a better ability to see it than we do, because the world wasn't cluttered by as much steel and concrete. They could see the stars. They could observe, just childbirth. I remember a guy saying to me one time, he says, John, if you've ever seen your child born, you'll never doubt the existence of God. And it's so very true. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The stars declare his handiwork. Psalm 94, verse 9, he who has created the ear, does he not hear? He who has created the eye, can he not see? Just think about how you see God's omnipotent power and creation. There are birds. There's one species of birds that literally, they orient themselves by the stars. So they decided to hatch some of these birds in a laboratory, in a building, and they had fake skylight pictures of stars around them. And these birds, even using pictures of real stars, would orient themselves based on those pictures as to where they should fly or not fly. Just, I have the privilege on occasion in the past to go to Alaska, and I've seen millions and millions every year of salmon spawning upstream. What are they doing? They've been gone for 7 years out in the ocean. And they're coming back to die. They're coming back to plant their eggs, and they got to get upstream to where they were born. And they're fighting against rocks and all this turbulence and stuff, and all to get up this stream to get there. And What causes those salmon to do that? It's just amazing. There's a, it's called an archer fish, I think. It has the ability to shoot drops of water like rockets. It comes to the surface of the water, shoots a drop of water, and can knock an insect out of the air and then eat it. And it just goes on. And I don't know if the name is familiar. Robert Jastrow, he was a big name when I was growing up. And later on, he died in about 2008, I think it was. He was the head of the Goddard Institute for Space Research and stuff. He was an astrophysicist, a believer. And he wrote this. Now we see, and by the way, this was in 1968. Can you imagine what he'd say today? Now we see how the astronomical evidence supports the biblical view of the origin of the world. The essential elements in the astronomical and biblical accounts of Genesis are the same. It wasn't evolution at all, says Jastrow. It asks, what cause produced this effect? Who or what put matter or energy into the universe? And science, he says, cannot answer. He goes on, for the scientist who has lived by his faith in the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He's about to conquer the highest peak. And as he pulls himself over the final rock, he looks over the edge, Jastrow says, and is greeted by a band of theologians who've been there for centuries. And it's so very true. Great, great, great statement. I mean, and the encouraging part, remember, this is the power and this is the God that we have as his children, the power to pray to. If you could travel at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, I just went 186,000 miles. I just went another 186,000. 186,000 miles a second. If you started from one edge of the Milky Way, that's our galaxy. There are millions of them. This is just the one where our solar system is. If you started at one edge of it and you went at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, it would only take you 225,000 years to get across it. That's just our galaxy. It's mind-boggling. At any point in time, there are 1,800 storms going on around our globe, exerting 1,300 million horsepower of energy, all harnessed. The Earth is 25,000 miles in circumference at the equator. It is spinning on its axis at 1,000 miles an hour. Yet with such precision, you can set your clock to the split second, and day after day, year after year, it never wavers, never variates. Einstein, incredible genius, said there is no way you can look at creation, no way you can look at the universe and not realize there's a creator. Sad to say, he suppressed the truth as well. He never came to an understanding of the Christ. And by the way, that Earth that spins 1,000 miles a second on that axis, it's going through a 560-580-mile journey around the sun, and it's doing that at 1,000 miles a minute, 60,000 miles, and again, in space, just hung out there. And you realize the power of Almighty God. So he says here in Romans, that which is known about God is evident within them. I created man. I gave him a knowledge to perceive this. And I've done all these incredible things in creation to let him know that I am God. Well, let me just say that there's so much more in this passage of Scripture that we want to unpack. When he says his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse, here's the point. Every Canaanite that was ever destroyed by God, every Assyrian that was struck down, every Egyptian soldier that was drowned in the Red Sea, the Sodom and Gomorrah, all of the peoples around the world. Monies 500, 600 years ago, before any missionary ever got to the Monies, every human being who's ever lived and is alive today is without excuse. God has revealed himself by making it innate in the human heart that he exists and has given him the ability to know the God of the scriptures by creation. And get this, if man will follow that light that he is given, God will give him more light. And ultimately, he will indeed be saved. It's not anything other than man rejects the light. He rejects the truth that's there. He suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. And we're going to talk next week, Lord willing, about that rejection and about rationalization and about man-made religion, all of which are an affront to Almighty God. Join me in a word of prayer. Father, this is many times what is thrown up. How can a good God sentence people to a hell when they've never heard about Christ? It's because men have God revealed to them, and for the overwhelming majority of them, they reject that God, so they don't get the additional light they need. And yet, Father, here and there, by your grace, you do have some that do respond to that light, and you move heaven and earth to get your truth to them. Father, it's not a question of what others do. It's a question of us. What do we do with the light we have been given? We are so blessed as a people. And as we ponder your righteous judgment, we also ponder your incredible grace and mercy. If there were no righteous judgment and wrath, the cross would be a complete joke. But the cross tells us clearly there is indeed a deserved punishment for sin. It's incumbent upon us to be grateful, eternally grateful, for your forgiving us of those sins. And we would cry out and pray that you would do so for us as a people and as a nation. Lord, we ask it all again in the matchless name of Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen.
Thanks, John. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Pomatin and more of a message titled The Wrath of God, Part 2. As we continue our study in the book of Romans, if John's teaching is ministering to you, we invite you to consider supporting this radio ministry with a secure tax-deductible gift of any amount that will help us to keep John's teaching on the air. Just visit reformedlivingministries.org. You can also write to John. He loves to receive mail and respond to your letters. You can include a donation made out to Reformed Living with your letter. Here's John's mailing address. Reformed Living, P.O. Box 386, 4727 East Bell Road, Suite 45, Phoenix, Arizona, 85032. Thank you. I'm Celeste Montague. Please join us next time as we continue our study in the book of Romans. And now, here's John to invite you to visit his church and to close our time on the radio today.
This is John Politon, and you've been listening to Reformed Living. Reformed Living Bible Church regularly meets for worship at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday at 6140 East Thunderbird Road in Scottsdale, and visitors are most welcome. If you're interested in learning more about Reformed Living Bible Church, please visit our website at reformedlivingministries.org. Again, that's reformedlivingministries.org. Until next time, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.